Hey, it's Matt from Money Lab. I'm recording this on a Sunday. I just got done brewing today, and I was thinking a little bit about my goals for the month. And again, you're listening to this way later, but my goals for the month are as follows. Number one, there's one I can't tell you about yet because as soon as we have something concrete, I will do a lot of podcast episodes about it, and I'm sorry for the crypticness, just because I'm not 100% prepared to talk about it yet. It's a sort of a secret project. One of the projects is improving shipping, okay? And that's just for the month. I'm just going to try to figure this out. Now, what I mean by that is, for context, we have lots of products that we ship, right? They're mostly chemicals, but there's one product that I decided to start shipping myself. And I'm sure I talked about this on other episodes, but that product is our Pool Care Handbook. It's a 335-page paperback book, pretty thick book, weighs about a pound, I think, maybe a pound, maybe half a pound or something. God, I gotta look that up. I didn't measure it. And I have, when I started doing this, I had 100 books shipped to my home, okay? Then I ordered 100 bubble mailers that are custom. They have our logo on it, and that's pretty much it. But when I bought them, they were the right size because our book is a 6x9. These were like a 10x7, but the bubble mailer is not very thick, and our book is. So shoving the book in the bubble mailer is kind of a pain in the ass and takes a long time. And obviously, the bubble mailer itself is more expensive than it needs to be. I go back and forth on the idea of, should our shipping products, meaning like boxes, bags, etc., be custom branded. I think that it looks nice, and I feel like it's an ego thing, but I don't think for the extra amount of money it adds any value whatsoever. I cannot think of a reason why branded shipping boxes or bags or whatever, why that needs to be a thing. Because ultimately, you get a box in the mail and you open it and then you throw the box away. It is not like you keep the box around unless you have a really nice box. But even then, I think, what? Why? You know, does having a designed box in your home remind you that you should buy something from us? I don't know. I just think most people are throwing these boxes away. Maybe their cat plays with them. But ultimately, like, who cares, right? I'm still on the fence about that. As a person who really is focused on brand, it bums me out that I feel that way. But from a margin and business perspective, the extra dollar that it adds to our margin that decreases it, I just don't see it worth it. Now, there are other ways that I could spend that dollar that would help our business. And this is part of what I want to talk about. So what I did is, so we have these bubble mailers, we have 100 books. I'm going to get through those because we have them. Why not? I also bought a thermal printer. It's the Dymo XL5. Got it on Amazon. It was like $250. It came with 5 rolls of labels. I believe the labels are relatively cheap. They make third-party versions. I'm not super worried about even adding the label in as our margin. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, it's probably like a penny, right, per label. Not super worried about it. But right now, the label machine is in the basement and the books are in the middle floor or our main floor. So the process. And unfortunately, it's not a wireless printer. You have to wire it to something. Now, I could put it on our network, but I think I do have a mesh network near there. I wonder if there's an X, what do you call those things? Like a Cat 5 Ethernet cable. I wonder if there is. I might be able to do that. So anyway, yeah, I could hook it up wirelessly. It's probably something that I will do at some point, just because right now when an order comes in or multiple orders, I have to go downstairs, I have to print, I have to get my laptop, I have to create the label, and I have to plug it into the machine, print the labels, go upstairs, apply the labels to the pre-packed books, and then stick them in our mailbox because we send media mail because they're books. Now, I'm only talking today about the book shipping process because right now that is the only product that we ship out of our home. And I need to think about a bunch of different things here. So this is where I'm sort of brainstorming. The first thing is the book, like bottom line to the customer, the book has to be in good, you know, has to look good, right? One of the nice things about getting the book ourselves and shipping it ourselves is that we get QA. We have quality control or quality assurance. Because sometimes I've gotten complaints. It's been very rare. There's maybe like two complaints I've ever had. But again, that's two complaints. That's wasted money. There was two times when a customer got a book and it fell apart. So because the book was print on demand and then would ship right to the customer, there was no quality assurance. Whereas in our case, we're getting a ton of those books. And so before we even pack it into a box, we're testing it out and making sure it's good. Cool. So the bubble mailer doesn't work because it's hard for the book to go into, right? And then that's a bad user experience when the customer opens the package, which is actually hard to open, mind you, because it's just a big sticker. So like an Amazon bag that's padded has like a perforated thing that you can kind of run your finger and just open it, open the package is really easy. These bubble mailers don't have it. And I bought these bubble mailers from Sticker Mule as a test and they look good, but ultimately, again, I feel like it's sort of overkill, doesn't really make a lot of sense, really difficult to open, not recyclable, like there's a lot of downside. The one upside to it is that the bubble mailers, they do protect the book and they fit in our mailbox. Our mailbox is the standard ass mailbox. I bought it from like Lowe's, like give me black aluminum regular ass mailbox, right? And the reason I even bought it was because our house came with a mailbox. But one of our neighbors obliterated it with their car. I literally watched it happen like the first week we were in this house. And both Steph and I were like out doing something in the garage and we just see this car barreling down the street and it just slams into our mailbox and we're like, what the fuck? It was wild. Anyway, they were on something, we found out. And also almost died later. They got into an accident later because they were on something. Anyway, so I have to buy a new mailbox. So it is important that I can fit these books in the mailbox and put the flag up. Currently, with the size of our mailbox and the bubble mailers, I can put a max of about 6 to maybe push 8 books into the mailbox. Now, I don't want to keep doing that because I kind of feel like our mailman's just going to get pissed. Like, dude, every day there's like 8 big heavy things that are shoved into this tiny mailbox. Like, I'm only one car. So I may have to drive these down to the post office, which is right down the street. Not a big deal, right? And that's right now until maybe something happens in the future. I'm sort of preparing for it. And I'll talk about it a little bit, but part of the thought process is it has to be easy to fit in the mailbox. It has to be easy to stack and carry or stack into a box. And I thought about, so I went onto Uline, which is where I bought these shipping things, and I ended up ordering a bunch of different types of shipping containers. I ordered boxes, so Kraft, which is the, you know, basically cardboard, the cardboard color, mailers. So hopefully I'm trying to find a box that will perfectly fit this book so that there is like no gaps whatsoever. Ideally, that would be nice because then I can put the book in, seal it up with a piece of tape or even the packing label, but probably not the packing label, probably with a piece of tape. I'll probably have to buy tape as well. Right now I can just use packing tape, but in the future I may want something that just looks a little nicer or perhaps is branded. Maybe I could use a branded sticker to kind of, you know, make it a little bit more interesting, right? And obviously easier than packing tape because I just peel and stick as opposed to like pulling the tape out. That can all get messy, whatever. So ideally, I would like it to be a box. That would be perfect for me because the box, if it's the exact same size of the book, will perfectly fit in the mailbox and is easily stacked, and it's very easy to add the label and or a sticker on it. And I can, and this happens no matter what we ship with, is I plan on putting cards, either probably just, I'm gonna start with just one card in the book itself, okay? And that card will be an upsell card. Essentially, it will be a promotion for one of our other products at a discount as like a thank you for buying the book. Here's our gift, here's our extra gift, blah, blah, blah. So that's what we're going to do in lieu of getting our own custom packaging. Now we could get our own custom packaging that has that built in, but with the card idea, we can change that at will. Plus it is incredibly cheap. We're talking like a couple of cents per card as opposed to like a full dollar for a box, right? So in an ideal world, the box is the best choice for a few of those reasons. The customer, it's like, hey, it protects the book. It feels substantial. It's all of those things. It's easy to stack. However, it is more expensive. It's the most expensive shipping option I have besides custom printing, which means, yeah, I'd probably be spending 50 cents a box, which is not a terrible cost. But the other package, there's two other packages I'm looking at. And I just got samples from Uline so that I could test this out. They actually come, I believe, either tomorrow or Tuesday. And so I'll be able to start testing this. The other package is my second choice is, rather than a bubble mailer, it's this like padded cardboard eco mailer. So it's more like a poly bag, except, and Amazon has these too. It's a little padded, not as padded as a bubble mailer, but slightly more padded. And it kind of acts like a bag, and it's recyclable. So, and again, for the box, obviously recyclable, that's good too, right? Whereas our bubble mailers, not recyclable, just pure waste. And that is no bueno. I don't want that, right? So that's my second choice. But the sizes of that are questionable. Yes, they are going to be way easier to pack than a box, because if we get a box, we have to build the box. Like the boxes, they come flat. So when it comes time to like preparing or kitting or whatever you want to call it, we have to build the box, stick the book in the box, and then do all that work. Whereas with a padded mailer, It's literally sticking the book in the Padded mailer, pulling the tape off, sealing it, and you're done, right? There's no building of the box. So in the Padded mailer, it saves us a single step. Now, the presentation isn't as nice, right? It's just an ugly looking brown bag, essentially. But, and the size is questionable. I don't know. One of the reasons I'm getting it is I think I got two different sizes because, again, the same issue we have with the bubble mailer, it could be, since our book is thick, it can compress the book and be hard to actually put the book in the bag. And then if we get one that's a little bit oversized, but it's easier for us to put the book in, it may not fit in our mailbox, which would be not the end of the world, but it would mean I would have to go to the post office every day. And I don't want to have to do that, especially on a day where it's like, we only sold one book. I just want to be able to throw that in the mailbox, right? So I just want that option for now. So the third option, which is my least favorite, but would be the most affordable, is simply a poly bag. No padded to it whatsoever. It's simply just a bag. Now, with a bag, it's obviously the cheapest. It doesn't protect the book, but honestly, if you order a book from Amazon, especially a paperback book, it's probably coming in one of those, right? It's definitely not going to get shipped in a box, and it's definitely not going to get shipped. It may get shipped in a padded mailer, but it's most likely just going to get shoved into a bag, right? Because it's a book. Obviously, that's going to be easy for us to pack. It's the downside. The real big downside to it is that it's just purely wasteful, and it could potentially damage the book during shipping because the edges of the book are not protected when people are throwing this around. So, you know, the book could get bent in a weird way, which would be a bad presentation for us. So I don't like that idea, but it is the cheapest. But I got one coming just to see it. I'm just kind of curious, like, hey, is this something that makes sense? Well, we'll see. I'm really leaning towards the box. I'm not thrilled with the idea of building the box, but I'd rather go through that effort of building a box to have something that is easily recyclable, something that makes the book that they just bought feel special, because the book is not cheap. So I kind of feel like having it come in a protected box is a little bit better. Now, I know that we're not supposed to add anything else to media mail when you ship media mail. It's supposed to be like just the media. But I've seen people like slip cards inside the book. And I think honestly, like, if it fits inside the book, it's free game, in my opinion. And I could be against their policy, but I'm like, look, it's part of the book. It's a page in the book. That's how I look at it. The other thing I'm thinking about is like, all right, what could I do besides the card to improve the customer experience? I think we could, you know, add a magnet or a sticker or some type of extra gift into the box. We could, and I've thought about this, we could get stickers made that we could stick on the book itself. And a sticker would be something like, you know, you'd probably see like Oprah's Book Club sticker that would go in the book, or like second edition, or new and improved, or something along those lines, where that's something that we could change out over time. But that would certainly help with marketing. I don't know what that would be. Besides, one thought I had was, if we sell these books to consumers, wholesalers, right? Sorry, meaning if somebody buys it, if somebody buys a bunch of books for their company, we could create a sticker that's like retail edition, pool industry edition, you know, something like that. Or we could create stickers that could help us get leads if they decide to sell that book to their customers. So, but for the homeowner, I just don't see any reason to add a sticker to the book. Now, adding a sticker as a gift of just like, hey, we have a Swim University sticker, put it on your water bottle, put it on your, I don't know, your pool shed, if you wanted to do that. I think that's overkill and we're not that type of brand, but there could be something of value inside the book. I don't know what that is. It could be like a car, a separate card where you can put, you know, write down your pool's information, or I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's like mail the card back in for a free gift. That seems like overkill. So right now, the only thing that I can really think of is I'm leaning towards, and this is, look, I understand if you're listening to this, and I am shocked that people listen to this. If you're like, dude, this is so much talking and thought for just shipping a fucking book, dude. And I'm like, I know, and that's exactly the point. What I really want in my business is to think about every step of the process, specifically from the consumer's point of view. Because yes, I think it's very interesting from our side to think about process. Like in my, like I just mentioned, you know, shipping with a box that we have to build adds an extra step versus just a padded mailer or something, right? But to the, you know, is the box going to make a huge difference over the padded mailer to the customer? Probably not. You know what I mean? Probably like not going to go like, wow, this was shipped in a box. Amazing. They're not going to care, right? But it protects the book. And so it's like the things that they're not thinking about, I want to think about, right? So the other step of the process is, you know, does the padded mailer fit in the mailbox? Things like that. So I'm going to weigh the pros and cons of those two options. And I think the scrutiny about that helps with scalability. If the box just feels right to me, I have to account for if we scale and we're forced to not do this in our house anymore, then boxes may be a stupid idea because it's like it's adding an extra step and we won't be able to ship that many, right? So you have to think about every part of that process, and it's just something interesting to think about. Adding the card to the book, right now I'm going to get cards. I have to design them first. And the card is basically, I think, going to be the same offer that we give to all new subscribers, which is 50% off our course using the specific QR code on the card. And we'll include a URL as well. And there won't be a deadline, I don't think. It doesn't make sense to do that. It's just like, you know, get the video version, you know, the audio version, some sort of like extra bonus for book buyers, et cetera. Put my pen down because I've been holding it, but not writing anything. So that is what I'm working on. And I don't think it's going to take long. I think I'll get these packages and I'll test them all out, see how easy they are to build and what feels the best and what looks the best, and then just make my decision and then buy those. So right now, like today, it's a Sunday, and I didn't ship books yesterday, but I had to ship 6 books today. And I was talking to Steph about it. She was like, wow, that's a lot of books. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of books for February.
pool books.
And I'm like, this, it's really easy for me to do this right now because, again, it's February, or I'm recording this in March. But once the season hits, and it'll be short-lived, but there's a possibility that we could get like 10 sales a day, 10 books a day, right? Because right now we're getting six in about two days. So I don't know. It's not that crazy. Yeah, a lot more people are going to be buying the course. And if we start, it's just going to get, it's going to get insane. I'm looking forward to it. Like, Steph in the beginning, like, wanted to talk me out of this because, and she was right. And every time she did, I was like, you're right. I don't want to do this. This sucks, right? It's the idea of like, you really want to pack and ship your own stuff. Like, do you know how much time that's going to take? And in my head, I'm like, no, because I don't sell that many things, right? Like, who cares? But yeah, if I was shipping and selling chemicals right now, it would be a full-time job. I wouldn't be able to do it. So the thought, when she saw the books today, I'm like, yeah, this is like a couple of days worth. And yes, it takes me 2 seconds to do, right? I only do it, technically I did it today and I'm recording this on a Sunday. Normally I only do it Monday through Friday, right? And I usually have it on my, I have it on my calendar. That's like, check for book sales and ship them out. Takes like 2 seconds. Now that's right now because we have all the books prepared in the mailers ready to go. So all I have to do is print the label, stick it on the package, walk it out to the mailbox. Not a big deal, right? In the summer though, it could become a big deal. And I'm hoping it happens. I'm hoping it becomes such a fucking problem because obviously it means that it works and people want this product, which we already know is true. But two, it just opens up the door for me to do a lot more with shipping. And I really like, personally, the hands-on feeling of seeing an order come in, printing a label, and putting a book in the mail. It feels to me like I have something real. It's not just, it's so easy for sales to come in and it's digital and it's like, yeah, we make good money, but it feels like I'm creating in a void. And I've always been, I guess longtime listeners will probably know this about me, which is like, I very much crave a tactile experience in what I do. I really like, I love doing a podcast and having the microphone and being able to talk and having like a studio set up. I love that thought and that in the process of building that and like having, it feels real world. Even though I'm creating something digitally, whenever I just worked on my laptop from anywhere in the world, it just felt not real. And as soon as I built a studio, it all of a sudden feels a little bit more real. Having a product that I ship feels very real. You know, having a retail store would feel the realest, right? But also like unscalable. So there is a part of me who is kind of forward thinking. If this becomes a problem, and we will know fairly soon, and I haven't even started running ads on it yet. So there will be a moment, probably in a month or so, where I start running ads, not directly to the book, but the book will be a part of it. And if those ads work, then it's game on. Like, it's going to become a problem. We are going to need a few things at that point. We're going to need a place to store our actual inventory, because my house is big enough, and it's, I shouldn't say the house is big enough. I have a room. Well, I have my office, which is like the entire basement. I could technically turn that into storage, right? Not a big deal. I could have boxes all over the ground, and that could be temporary. I also have a garage, and it's a book, so it's going to be fine. You know, sit in the garage. I also have a front room in the brewery. You know, like there's places where I could just put boxes. You know, if I need it if I needed to put them anywhere. But obviously, it becomes a problem. So, not just the books, but that's just that's only one product we sell. It's not even a case. It's like 4 or 5 cases of 100 books. I think you get like 20 a box. So it's probably 5 boxes, right? And that's just 100. Well, we get a better price break if we order 1,000 books, right? And obviously the book doesn't go bad. Like it's just, we just have it. And it's our own house. We're not paying for storage. It's simple. Well, yeah, there's a few things there. We are paying for storage technically, because the more our business takes over our home, the more square footage we can write off as a business. So where I work is a write-off. Where Steph works is a write-off. Her office, my office. And then if we start storing books and shipping equipment, then we will have that square footage that we can write off as well. So, and I say write off, it means the business is paying us rent for that square footage based on what our mortgage is, if that makes sense. So technically it does cost the business money to store books in that respect. Now, 1,000 books is, you know, like we can keep 5 boxes in our one room in the corner. When you 10x that, where the fuck are those books going to go? Like it becomes a problem, right? Not only that, we have to store the boxes that we ship, the labels, like all of the other things, like the tangentials. Right now, we're doing everything off the floor in this empty room that we have. It's like this in-between room. And what we really need is like a sort of a work desk that has the printer on it that's hooked up wirelessly so I can just print from wherever. It has to have all the books that are easy to grab, preferably already packed, meaning already packaged into the shipping unit. So all I have to do is pull a unit either off a shelf or out of a box and stick a label on it and stick it in my mailbox. This is all doable within our home completely fine, until it starts to take away my time, because Steph and I are the only two people in this home, and Steph doesn't want to do it. So it's me. I have to do it. I don't mind doing it, but if it becomes an issue, then it's like, oh shit. Like I'm going to have to get somebody to help me with this. Now my brother has offered to do this, but he lives in Denver, which is 40 minutes from my house. And he lives in a very small apartment and doesn't have storage for this product. Him coming to my house every day is not due. It's not happening, right? I don't need an employee to work at our house. So the future thought and kind of what I'm preparing for is perhaps getting some office space in my town, preferably near the post office. I kind of know where I would put it. I kind of know where I would look for an office space already. And if I were to do that, it obviously have to be a thing. It had to be a place where we could pack and ship products. Because, you know, yes, we have just the book, which is not a lot of product. But if we end up continuing to do the chemical stuff, I may want to bring that in-house because we already have the process in place. We already have the mail, you know, the capabilities. We're kind of in the center of the country. So for us, it's really easy to ship and people get things pretty quickly. Like if you're in California, Arizona, Texas, like huge states that have pools, you're getting stuff like next day or 2 days. Florida, I shipped my friend a box through FedEx. Got to him in like two to three days in Florida. So I'm like, all right, we're in a good spot for shipping, honestly. So, but if I do that, if I decide, okay, let's get a small retail space, or not retail space, small office space, right? And somewhere that we could ship easily, somewhere that the mail people come and the FedEx guy or the UPS person can come very easily, so where we could just like schedule these things to be picked up. That would be cool. Or whatever, I could, you know, drive to the post office that's nearby. So there is an area in where I live where there's a FedEx, UPS, and post office all within like a minute of each other. So it's a really good location even for shipping. Now, I'm thinking about this because if I decide to do something like this, where I invest in office space, then I would probably move my studio out of the house. And the reason I would do that is because it would allow me to build something a little bit more conducive to what I envision the future of SWIM University to be. Right now, we're kind of in an office space, right? It's like downstairs, there's like a couch, there's a shelf, and there's a desk. And that's where I am, right? It looks really good on camera, but it doesn't scream pool, right? It looks decent, it's branded well, but it's not really a pool area. So I had this idea, and I was going to do it in the basement, but then I'm like, I don't really want to turn my home into this. I would do this if we were off-premise somewhere, but I don't want to do this on-premise, or meaning at my house. But basically create like a fake outdoor set and make it look like a backyard and make it big enough to where you could have multiple sets. You could just change the angle, or you'd have multiple cameras. You could change the angle. And I've talked about this many times in many areas of my life. But if we were forced to get a dedicated space for shipping and we were making money doing that, then it justifies getting something with a little bit extra space to actually stick the full business. Meaning we could have desks set up for working there. I could actually leave the house certain days to go to work, which would be kind of cool. And I could build something where we could do some more interesting styles of content. For example, one of the things I'm thinking about is, and I'm going to do it this year probably, is offer a live pool school event where, and I've thought about this every single year I've had Swim University, and I've just never done it. But we used to do this when I worked in retail, where every year, beginning of the year, and we didn't do this every year, by the way, but basically a rep would come in from a chemical company and we would have, and they would set up a presentation, they would have a slideshow, and then we would set up a bunch of chairs and we would start mailing and calling all of our customers and saying, hey, we're doing a free pool school. So you could come after work. It was like, you know, 6 at night or 7 at night after dinner. You could come to the store. The store was closed, but you could come in, sit down, and we would give, or this rep would give, a pool care presentation where people could ask questions, right? Pack the house every single time we did it. The beauty of that was at the end, we had a huge sale that was for that night only. So we had this captured audience, right? And then we would, I think it was like 20% off everything in the store, 25% off everything in the store, right? But only that night. Every single fucking person bought something. Every single person bought something. We made more money on those days than any other day, right? And we only did them once. Once a year. We could have done that every week. The whole summer. And made that money. Because you just get a new audience every time. Right? Just because people who couldn't attend that night, attend the next night. And it was free. So you didn't even have to pay to go. But you ultimately, like, you know, you paid. Right? And so I wanted to do a version of that virtually where, you know, you would attend a webinar essentially, right? It was live though. So I had a presentation that I was really good at giving and I would practice the hell out of it. Give the presentation, right? Make it short and sweet, you know, 30 minutes or something like that. And then take questions at the end for like another 30 minutes. So it'd be an hour long presentation and people could ask questions, make it super limited. I would probably charge for the webinar itself, just to make it limited. And it's like, hey, look, you're getting my time. You're getting 30 minutes, whatever, whatever. And then, you know, obviously we could offer our courses or our products at a discount after that. I could do that every week easily. Except the problem with that setup right now is that I'd be doing it completely by myself. And it's not a terrible thing. I can do it, right? Because I could set up a paid product through Podia, Zoom, whatever. Happy will pay for it, whatever, whatever. And do it with like Ecamm or something. But I wouldn't be able to vet questions. It could get really sloppy where I'd probably need Steph or someone else to kind of moderate depending on how many people we would be able to get. So basically the idea of doing live events virtually is something that I've thought a lot about doing, and live paid events for, because I mean, that, I know people want this. So it wouldn't be that hard to do. I just think it requires a little bit more space. And the other thing that I have thought about doing is, like, I want to improve the course, and I want to improve, you know, most of our stuff right now is all presentation based where, you know, I'm sitting in a room and we're going over, you know, concepts through, you know, B-roll or slideshows or something, right? We're not actually at a pool instructing you what to do, because one, we don't have a pool, but two is that it just becomes really difficult to do, because it's like, oh, well, this pool has this type of thing, but your pool might have this other type of thing. And so we won't be able to show multiple things. So that's why we use B-roll and slideshows. Now, what I think would be very cool to do is have much more in-depth videos about specific products and building out a space with a multicam setup where I could, you know, be at a desk and give my normal presentation. The back of me looks like we're outside though. So we just have crazy amount of lights, which I already have, but we brighten up the back. We make it look like a backyard. So we add grass, we add a fence, we add a shed, you know, we add maybe a little swing set or something, like something to make it look like a backyard, right? And that we could change the time. We can make it dark. We can make it daytime, whatever. In that yard scenario, right, we could install a hot tub where, because part of the problem of like, yes, we can install a hot tub where I live and then we have all the hot tub content. Except I don't want to take care of a hot tub. Now, if we had it in a showroom kind of idea or a set, it's a very different thing. I'm not constantly taking care of it. I'm only taking care of it when we need to take care of it, right? The other thing I could do is build a small pool, depending on the space. And, you know, things, yeah, we've done that. We've built pools indoors before. Either they could be small pools. We could build an entire testing facility where we could do advanced testing on pool equipment and maybe build certain apparatuses to run things through a test so that we were picking the best products. We could also, if I had more space, which is, I have a lot of space now in the basement, but it looks like a basement. And I could decorate it to make it look like the outside, but at the end of the day, it's still a basement. And what I don't do is like buy products and go, hey, this is this product and, you know, here's how it works. Like, I know how to take apart a pump and fix everything. I've done it so many times, I could probably do it with my eyes closed. And I've taken apart multiple like pool cleaners over the years and fixed them. But we have no content on that because we don't. I'm like, where am I going to do this work? If I bring down all this stuff in the basement, it's just going to stack up and become a hassle. Whereas if we had a building, or not a full building, but you know, part of some space where we had some flexibility, and it was easy to get things in and out, well, then it starts to open up the door a little bit to do more interesting things, like I mentioned, buying product, bringing it in the showroom, warehouse, whatever we want to call it, creating content from it, right? Whether that's paid or public. And then also using that product as something that we can sell, right? It's like, or something we can give away as a contest. Like, hey, you know, we bought this cleaner. We really liked it. So, you know, if you fill out this form, you know, you enter your chance to win this free cleaner. And then we can just, whoever wins, we just slap a label on it, ship it to them right from that facility. That's something we can technically do now. So I don't think we need a space to do this kind of work. It starts to overtake my personal life a bit. And I kind of don't want that. So it's just a forward thinking thought. At the very worst case, we may have to hire a person that comes in every day and packs and ships products for us. Not at our house, but somewhere that like had just enough space where they could, you know, set up a little, you know, pack and ship area and, you know, storage area for our products and ship them. A lot of the products that we are currently shipping are going to be, you know, easy paper material. If we were to continue shipping chemicals, that would probably require some licensing and could be a whole thing. But ultimately, yeah, that's kind of what we're looking at. The other thing too is we could start to do, I have two podcasts, but they're not video, nor do I think anybody wants to watch a video podcast, but we could record those with multiple people and do sort of a show type of thing. And then, you know, that's just extra content that I wouldn't do now, but we could do in the future. And, you know, it just, all of these things just add up in costs, but it also adds to the value of what we can do and perhaps what we can maybe, I don't know. I just think it's interesting. And it's something I'm thinking about. But obviously nothing yet. More importantly, this year, or this month at least, I should say, and again, this month is March, but you're probably listening at a different time, I am 100% focused on the secret project that I'm working on, the shipping thing to like really dial that in. I love the fact that we only have one product to deal with, and I can just spend my time getting that one product right and make that as easy as possible on us, make it as best as possible for the customer. And then from there, you know, go nuts. So that's it. This is long, but hey, you know, something to think about. Bye.